Many years ago, I had joined the military, specifically the Air Force, and they began training us in the art of war. There was part of our training where we were supposed to learn the strategies behind how do you defend a location and how do you attack a location. It was air-based ground defense. As they taught us all the classroom knowledge, but then they wanted us to simulate it, to actually play it out in an exercise. And so when it was time for the exercise, we geared up with all our gear. We had our helmets, we had our vests, we had our boots, we had our camouflage, and we had our face paint on. We were ready to go fight. They issued us our M16s, and they gave us one cartridge with 12 blank bullets. Now, when you're gonna go fight, it's important to have the right equipment. And they gave us blanks, but even if I shot a blank at someone, how would I know that I hit them and that they're out of the game? Well, have you ever played laser tag? Yeah. Did you know the military has their own version of laser tag that's like a military-grade laser tag? It's so cool. It's called Miles Gear. And so they outfitted us out with Miles Gear, lasers on our guns that were attached to our guns. We had sensors on our vests and on our helmets. And it was directly tied that when we shot a blank in our gun, it shot the laser out. And if we hit somebody's sensor, then their gun turned off and they were dead. It would light up. They would be out. But you know what? If you had no blanks in your cartridge, you couldn't shoot anymore, even if you were still in the game. Now, I looked at all the equipment. My team was specifically on the offense, and we were supposed to go in and capture a headquarters. And so we went. And I had this strategy. I thought, you know what? I don't have a lot of equipment. I don't have that many bullets. I probably need to save them if I'm going to capture the headquarters. So I went into the woods. I crawled through ditches and ravines. I didn't fire a shot. I was saving my ammunition for when I needed it most. And I finally got to the headquarter buildings. And inside the building, it was full of people trying to defend it. Except that everyone that was in the headquarters had already used up all their bullets trying to defend. So when I came in and I had all my bullets, pa-pow, 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 I dropped them all and I won the exercise. It was so cool. You see, it matters that you have the right equipment when you go to battle. Today, we're looking to ask and to answer this question. How does God help us with equipment when it comes to the mission? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones, pull out your YouVersion Bible app. We're going to be turning together today to Luke chapter 24. We're reading out of the New Living Translation, and the words are going to be up on the screen behind me, but we like looking it up so that you know where it is on your Bible app, and it'll save the spot so you can read all about this by yourself later. We want you to read for yourself what the Bible says. But let me explain what's going on before we read this passage. Jesus is on this planet. He's fulfilled his mission. He has died on the cross. He was put into a tomb on the third day. God raised him from the dead, and he spent the next 40 days visiting with his disciples, giving them instructions as to what they're supposed to do next, because he is going to go back up into heaven. And so he's meeting with his disciples when we start reading right here, Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 46. It says this, "And he, being Jesus, said, 'Yes, it was written a long ago that the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven.'" Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, and that we would choose to change and be open to everything you have for us. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. When I was a teenager, all my friends were getting jobs. And because they had jobs, you know what they had? Money. And I wanted money. I wanted to be able to decide what I was going to do. So I went to my parents and I said, Mom, Dad, I want to get a job. All my friends are getting jobs. I want to get a job. Please, can I have a job? And you know what my parents said? No. I'm like, what? This doesn't make sense. And I had to know the reason why. Why can't I work? And so they explained to me the reason why, and it kind of blew my mind why they didn't want me to work, because I already knew everything as a teenager, and I couldn't comprehend a different line of thought, because here's what my parents said to me. They said, Ryan, you're going to work the rest of your life. It's okay to wait to start. We'll take care of whatever you need and everything. You're going to enjoy this later on. And you know what? They wanted me to wait. And I didn't want to wait. No one likes waiting. Now, all these years later, I can appreciate their thinking, but then I could not. I didn't understand. I didn't like it. Waiting. No one likes to wait. You know, it's said that when we pray to God, that God will either hear our prayers and answer them, or he'll just flat out say no. But there actually is a third answer that God gives us when we pray. That he doesn't say yes, because we like it when he says yes. He doesn't say no, we don't like it, but at least we got an answer. Sometimes God answers our prayers with one word called wait. Ah, who wants to wait? No one likes waiting. You want proof of that? DMV. No way, we don't like waiting. It's hard. But here in Luke chapter 24, Jesus was talking to his disciples after the resurrection. He had given them a mission, but he told them to wait. Can you imagine how that felt? I have plans for you, but wait. You're going to do a lot of cool things, but wait. See, Matthew records the mission in a slightly different manner. He writes it in Matthew chapter 28, and he says that Jesus said this. This is what you're supposed to be doing. He says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just like we had water baptism a minute ago, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the edge of the end of the age. This passage from Matthew chapter 28 is known as the Great Commission. It is the mission in a nutshell. What we're supposed to be doing as followers of Jesus. What we're supposed to be doing as a church. What's the church supposed to be? We're supposed to be going and making disciples, baptizing and teaching them. And Jesus is with you. What are you supposed to be doing personally? Go and make disciples, baptize them, teach them. That's what we're supposed to do. But Jesus also follows up. I mean, this same statement took place in that period of time between the resurrection and Jesus going back up to heaven, this 40 days, instruction, mission. But Luke records another conversation that Jesus has with them kind of at the same time. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says that after Jesus got finished eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The disciples had a great mission in front of them, but they couldn't do it by themselves. Jesus said to wait. Wait for what? Wait until God sends and gives the Holy Spirit, specifically the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, in this series, Advance, we have been looking at several stories where Jesus kind of flips the tables on his disciples. That his disciples have been following him, they've been watching him, they've been hearing him, and then he wants them to go out and do. Go do ministry. So first, as recorded in Luke chapter 9, Jesus takes his 12 disciples and names them all off and says, hey, I'm sending you out in two by two to go out. And then the very next chapter, in Luke chapter 10, he sends out 72 other disciples who he sends out in two by twos. And both groups of disciples who Jesus sends out to multiply the ministry, to do more, he gives them the same restrictions. He says, you're going to go out, don't take any money with you. No gold, no silver, no copper. Don't take a backpack with a change of clothes. Don't take a walking stick with you. That one doesn't make sense to me because they're going to have to walk. They're like, no one knows you're coming and you don't know where you're going to eat. You don't know how you're going to live. And as we looked at these restrictions, which he gave to both groups, we kind of came up with this conclusion that everything that they needed, they would have to rely on God for. That every part of their life, every part of their well-being, every part of their advancing and taking a step forward would be fully reliant on God. And it amazes us to think that Jesus would send them out on a mission and purposely not give them what they needed or what they thought they needed. And if we focus on what Jesus didn't let them have, we can miss what he did give them. And what he gave them was power. In Luke chapter 9, when he's sending out his 12, it says that one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and he gave them power and authority to cast out demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And when he sent out the 72 other disciples, they came back surprised that even demons listened to them when they spoke in the authority of Jesus' name. They were surprised. It worked. But here's what Jesus told them about it. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing can stop you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. You see, Jesus was keeping them focused when it came to the supernatural. He provided power for the mission. He gave them authority. And when he gave them instructions to wait after his resurrection for the beginning of the church, he explained that they needed to wait for the Holy Spirit, that they would have the power they needed for the mission. He gave them the Great Commission, but he's like, but wait, this is what you need, and here's why. Luke writes about it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus, his words, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. With each part there, he's saying, you're going to be right in the town that you're at. Then you're going to be right in the country that you're at. Then you're going to go to neighboring countries, and you're going to go through the whole region. You're going to tell people about me when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, some of you are scratching your heads like, oh, we're talking about that crazy Holy Spirit stuff. And depending, like, what your background is and what you've been taught or what you think you know, everything, you're like, wait a second. Don't tell me I accidentally stumbled into one of those churches. I mean, I thought Focus Church was a cool church where they're just a lot of fun. Well, let me tell you, Focus Church believes about the whole Bible, that everything is for us, and we acknowledge that we are in a real battle. That it's not just what we see, but there's a whole nother realm. But I don't think the focus is supposed to be on everything that's weird or everything we can get off base on or everything that we can get a little unfocused on. There's an importance that when Jesus is saying wait and he's saying you need the Holy Spirit, it has a very distinctive purpose. When Jesus sent out the 12, he empowered them not so they can do cool things and do miracles and so they can see crazy things. No, he empowered them to share the good news. And when he sent out the 72, he empowered them to share the good news. And when he was telling the disciples to start the church and to go and make disciples and baptize them, teach them, the empowerment was focused on this one idea. You will be my witnesses. You will tell everyone everywhere about me. So yes, Jesus didn't give them much, but what he did give them mattered a lot. You see, empowerment from the Holy Spirit is enough for the mission. We are called to reach people for God. This wasn't something that was just for the Bible times. This wasn't something that's just for the disciples. This wasn't something that's just for the first church. If you have said yes to God, if you've made him the leader of your life, if you've gone all in and say, God, I give you all of me, you are the boss of me, then what you also have received is the mission. Go and make disciples, baptize them, teach them. We are all individually and collectively as a church family, we have a mission, something we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be advancing the kingdom. But you know what? When it comes to the mission, it's not about the equipment we bring to the table. It's not about what we have to offer. It's not about that, hey, I'm really good on talking on stage. Hey, I can sing really good. Or hey, I know how to talk to people. Oh, I can come up with creative themes. Or I'm a great artist. Or I can be creative. Or maybe I'm just persuasive. It has nothing to do with what we offer, the equipment we bring to the table. You see, being able to advance the mission, meaning to help or to focus on helping people find God's place in their life, it all centers on the one thing Jesus does provide us, and the one thing is enough. We need the right tools. We need the right equipment. We need the right weapons for battle. We need power to be witnesses. And it's important that we come to grasp with this concept that God has more for us, that it's not just good enough to say, hey, I'm going to heaven. Hey, I made a decision. Hey, I got baptized. You're a soldier. You're part of an army. You have a mission. You have a purpose. And God has something for you. It's time to gear up for what God has for you. And the sooner we acknowledge this in our minds, in our brains, in our hearts, the more God can use us and work through us. If we were to turn this into a statement, it might look something like this. It's found in the gray box on your notes. It says this, that I need the Holy Spirit's empowerment to advance the mission. This is a statement we need to each be able to say that, hey, I need this. I need it to advance the mission. I believe in the mission. I want to advance the mission. I want to take a step forward, but I need empowerment. This past week, we had our annual vision meeting this past Wednesday night, and this room was packed with people that are focused on what we're doing as a church, and we got to celebrate everything that God did in 2023. And let me tell you, like we keep track of everyone who's here and everyone who comes, and we look at that because we want to measure what God is doing. And between our weekend services and the stuff we do with our Next Gen Center, let me tell you, we celebrated that 1,749 different people walked in our doors for one of our programs or services in 2023. That's a lot, yeah. That's a big deal. And last year, we had the most people we have ever gotten saved in a whole year. 62 people said yes to Jesus in 2023 and made him the leader of their lives. That's awesome. Now, our church just finished celebrating 49 years in existence, which also means that our 50-year anniversary is coming up in 2024. Kind of cool. We'll do something special for it. But we have looked back through all the records, and that 62 people saying yes to Jesus, that's the most ever in any year history of this entire church. That's crazy. But we said that's step one, but step two is that after we make a decision for Jesus, we should be part of the family and we should get water baptized. And last year, 37 people went public with their faith and got baptized in this tub right here. And that's worth celebrating. 37 people, yeah. And that was also a single year record. The most water baptism this church has ever had in its entire history. But a lot of people came to the vision meeting not to celebrate what 2023 was, but really to hear, what are we going to do in 2024? Like, what is going to be the vision? What's going to be the plan? And let me tell you that ever since I shared that we're going to share the vision, I've had people ask me, like, please tell me, Pastor. I have a guess. I want to know if I'm right. Please tell me. I can't stand surprises, Pastor. Please, please, please tell me. And they tried to get it out of me. What are we doing? So I asked them, what do you think it is? I had one person come up to me and said, I think that we're going to bring revival to Dane County, that we're going to have revival services and it's going to be amazing. We're bringing revival. And I'm like, oh, okay. I said, how do you know if we have revival? They're like, well, people's lives will be changed and people will be impacted. People get saved and people get in water baptized. And I'm like, oh, wait. So if in 2023, we had the most people ever get saved and the most people ever get water baptized, you know what? I think we might be in the middle of a revival right here, right now. It isn't that cool. Now, it might not look exactly like we look at, but really, in the end, revival is about people turning to God. And that's what's happening here. Lives are being changed. And these are great things to cheer about, things to be excited about. It's exciting to be about a church that's not dead. To be with a church where people can find hope. It's not just a slogan on the wall, but it's something that actually happens. We're in the middle of this revival, but it doesn't happen because we are creative. It doesn't happen because we got good marketing. It doesn't happen because we got good graphics. It doesn't happen because we're strategic. It doesn't happen because we're smart. It doesn't happen because we're persuasive. But rather, all of this has happened because Focus Church believes in and operates in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is for people to know God. That's what's happening. That's how we operate. We believe in this. And it is enough. And it's everything. Because it isn't us. It's all Him. So we did share about the vision for 2024. And let me tell you, as God began speaking, as the Holy Spirit began guiding us to what it is that we're supposed to do as a church in 2024, it was a lot. As I looked at each thing on the list that God was giving us, I'm like, God, can we just pick one of these? Is this multiple choice? I wish. Because it's a lot. God overwhelmingly has confirmed that we're supposed to be doing all these things and this year. And so we shared them at the vision meeting this past Wednesday. And if you weren't able to be there, we're hoping to have a link that we email out to where you can watch the video of it, maybe even show you where to fast forward to just the vision part of it. But I decided that as part of my message today, that it's important us to hear together really the cliff notes, because God is asking us in 2024 to do five things where we're going to advance. And when I say these five things, some of them are going to excite you, some of them you're not going to care about, some of them you're going to be like, whoa, really? But let me tell you what Shalia Mind's heart with it is, that every one of them is overwhelming. Every one of them is too much. Every one of them we can't do. And yet we know that we know that we know that God is saying, go, advance, do. So let me share with you the five things are that Focus Church is doing, this family, you, me, what we're doing this year. First of all, number one, after a five-year break, we are starting missions trips again. We'll have three missions trips this year, two overseas, one local. You can be a part of this, but our plan is that we offer missions trips every single year, because you know what? There are people who need Jesus. And we don't go just because we have something to offer, but we go because this is the heart of God. This is the mission, and we ask that God change us in the process, not just what we can bring to another place. So there's a group we're sending in April to Thailand. There's a group we're sending in August to Wales. And then we have a group that's doing local that's gonna be involved in a camp or foster care. And you can be a part of that one. Missions trips begin after 5 years. Thanks, COVID. Two, second thing. You may know that we had started working with an architect and builder to expand this building. This is supposed to be a next-gen center. And this past year, we got stalled in the process. But we have not stopped the process. We are moving forward with the process because God told us to do it. We're supposed to expand. And right now we're at a spot where it's not just expanding this building, but we're supposed to be expanding what we own next to this properties. And so we're in the middle of trying to procure the land next door to us. And we're letting God have his way. We're being patient and we're waiting. Because we know we're supposed to do it. God has told us to do it. But also in the meantime, here's what we do know. That we're already going forward and we've made this a next-gen center. Kids come every week to spend time and hang out with awesome volunteers here. And you know what? 1,749 people, unique people coming through the doors this last year means our building is getting worn. It's getting used. There's people here all the time. And that's if everyone only came once, a ton of people came even more than that. And that's not even counting people who came in that didn't check in. This building's getting used. And so while we are waiting for God to move for the expansion of this place, we've got to take care of this space. So we've got to do improvements. We've got to take care of carpet. We've got to take care of paint. We've got to take care of the parking lot. There's some things that cost some money that we thought, hey, we're not doing it because we're going to tear it all down because we're going to be under construction. Well, you know what? God's saying, wait, but we got to take care of what we have. So two is that we're going to continue the process of expanding our next gen building, but we're going to take care of what God has blessed us with. We're going to have to give. We're gonna have to raise money. We gotta take care of some big projects to keep this going because people are coming here and lives are being changed. That's number two, Next Gen Center. Number three, last year we bought a house. God told us we're supposed to buy a house and we're supposed to impact foster care with it. And this past year we bought a house, we have it under construction. And in 2024, we will be opening our foster care home. And it will be used to help kids who are aging out of the foster care system transition to adulthood. To not fall into a statistic, but to be able to get a leg up on life. To be there for them, to mentor them, to be a part of it. It launches this year, 2024. It happened. It's happening. That's number three. Number four, God has called us to help other churches in our area to increase local church expressions. And as I've been meeting with other pastors and other churches in our area, there's been something that has been brought to my attention, a big need that maybe we can do something about, and we are gonna do something about it. As a matter of fact, there are five Assembly of God churches within 25 minutes of a drive from here that every morning when they get together for worship every Sunday morning, they have no music. They have no instruments. They have no musicians. They have no singers. So how do they have church with no music? The pastors have told me, they're like, we have no one. And so what we do is we use our big screen in the back and we turn on YouTube and we try to sing along to YouTube. And that's our worship. And I'm like, do people respond? They're like, nope. It just doesn't feel the same. And then God put it on my heart and spoke to me and said, you're going to make a difference in this area. And so we have met with and now have partnered with one of our sister churches in Columbus, Connection Church. And in 2 weeks, on the 11th of February, we're going to be sending people every single Sunday and letting them have live worship. We're going to be expanding our worship team to where we're not just having worship here, but there's a group of people blessing another church with worship. And as I was making this arrangement with this pastor, he was pinching himself. He's like, really? You're going to do this? This will change everything. He said, I've been praying for this. I've been asking God and saying, God, if we could just have music in our church, I know that people will come and people will stay. And I'm like, we want to help. He says, this doesn't normally happen. Churches don't help other churches. Churches don't send people to help other churches. And as he was saying that, I remembered, God reminded me that in the first 2 years of Focus Church, which we mentioned that we're 49 years old, but we've only been Focus Church for 7 years. For the first 2 years of Focus Church, we had no worship leader. We had no guitar player. We had no keyboard player. I think we had a backup singer and a drummer and a bass guitarist. It's kind of hard to do a worship team with those instruments. You got to have the lead instrument. And you know what? For the first 2 years that we were Focused Church, another ministry in our area would send people to lead worship at our church. And the music that we have here today, which we love the music here at Focus Church, we love celebratory praise and passionate worship. We have what we have because another ministry in our area was unselfish. And they blessed us week after week after week with live music. And now we get to pay it forward. We get to bless. And I know that as we are a blessing, we're going to be blessed. I'm excited that there's more opportunities. That if you've been thinking, hey, I wish I could do what Regan does over here, but as long as Regan's doing it, I can't do it, right? There's more opportunities. Maybe you want to play an instrument. Maybe you want to sing. Maybe you want to be a part of it. Maybe you want to learn. We need people, and we're creating opportunities, and we get to bless another church in the process. That's number four. Number five. I said that God has told us that we're supposed to increase local church expressions. And I've talked to many of you, especially those of you who drive quite a ways to come here. And I asked, why do you drive that far to come to Sun Prairie to go to church? And they're like, because there's no church like Focus Church near me. Our county is in need of more churches that are like Focus Church, that do something, that are focused on the mission of helping people find God's place in their life, who are generous, who preach the word, who have good music and worship, who invest in the next generation, do amazing children's ministry. A church that wants to impact foster care and invest in the next generation, the community. Our county is in need of more churches who bring hope that is found in Jesus. And so, this year, we have begun the process that we are going to be launching another Focus Church, and we're planting it in Stoughton. In Stoughton, that's where we're going. We're gonna launch another Focus Church in Stoughton. We've started the process. As a matter of fact, tomorrow morning, we leave to go on training on how to launch another church out of your church. We're beginning the process. We don't know how long it's gonna take. We don't know when it's gonna open. Someone came to me last week. They're like, so when do we start services in Stoughton? I'm like, whoa. We're advancing. We don't have the resources, we don't have the people, we don't have the skills, we don't have the experience, but you know what we do have? The Holy Spirit, the empowerment. This is why we're doing this. This is all big stuff. This is scary stuff. And if I speak to you as just plain Ryan, I would be the first in line to say, we can't do this. We have no business doing this. If anything, if we want to be ambitious, let's pick one of these things. And yet God overwhelmingly saying, you're doing five and you're doing them all at the same time and you can't do it without me. We have to be fully reliant on God's help. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Wait a second, you know, if I was regular Ryan, I would say, hey, we don't have the money, we don't have the people, we don't have the resources. We have no business doing this. We don't have a walking stick, we have no copper, we have no change of clothes, wait, where have you heard this before? We're in the same boat as the 12, as the 72, as the first church. It's not about what we don't have, it's about what we do have. God has given this church power and authority through the Holy Spirit to advance the mission. So how does God help us with equipment for the mission? He wants us to wait for the Holy Spirit, to realize we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to be empowered to be bold, to listen, to go forward, to have the tools that we need. And if you look at your notes, you'll notice that today's message is entitled Empowerment, Part 1. This is a two-part message, and next week we'll have part two of this. And let me just say, there's quite a few people here in our church who have already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they operate in this. not because we want to be weird, not because we're so infatuated with the supernatural. No, because we're serious about advancing the mission, and we can't do it without God's empowerment and boldness. I know personally that there's no way that I can speak up here without the Holy Spirit's help. Every service, I have a freak out moment before I get up here saying, I can't do this. But then I pray, and the Holy Spirit empowers me, and he gives me the words to say. There's words I say that are not even on this papers, and it confuses the guys in the back, because God's leading me in what I need to say for this service to you, for what you're supposed to hear, for what you're supposed to hear online. But there's also many people in our church who they believe. They're like, hey, we've heard this, Pastor. We believe it's supposed to be for us. I want this, and I've asked God for this, but his answer hasn't been yes. And we're realizing that his answer has been wait. Well, next week, we're going to have part two of this, and we are privileged because we are getting a special speaker who's coming next week. His name is Tim Enloe. He visited our church 3 years ago, and this guy's hard to get. He is an evangelist that focuses on the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and he's able to explain it in just a practical way that makes it easy for people to say yes, and God just pours it out. And so next week, as he preaches, as he teaches about this, we're going to have our time of worship, but we're going to have a prayer time here up front. And anyone who says, hey, I want what you're talking about. I want to go to my next level with God. I want that empowerment that comes from the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask God and see what he says. He's either going to say yes, no, or wait. But I'm going to encourage you right now to make plans to be here. And make plans the next few days to focus on asking God, saying, God, I want to be open to what you have for me. Dismiss other paradigms. Dismiss other beliefs. We've been looking at what the Bible says here today. We've been setting this up. We need this. This church already operates in this. We believe in this. And this is available for anyone who follows after God. We need this for the mission. We need this to advance. So make plans, come expecting, make sure you're here, come ready, ready to ask, get empowered for the mission. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we take a moment now, as we close, to talk to God. God, I'm thankful that you didn't just give us an impossible mission, but you also planned to equip us with what we needed to actually do the mission. You told the first church what the Great Commission would be, but you told them to wait. Wait till the Holy Spirit comes. Wait for that baptism. Wait for that empowerment, that boldness to be witnesses. And God, we believe that you're calling this church to advance, that you're calling this church to move forward. You've given us five big things we're supposed to be doing. God, it's really overwhelming. It's a lot, and we can say we're not good enough, that we don't have what it takes. We don't have the resources, but we do have you. We do have your empowerment. And so we're moving forward. We're choosing to trust you with everything. We need you. And God, as we prepare our hearts, our minds, our spirits for what you have for us this next week, God, I pray that we would come back together expecting you to show up, expecting you to do what you do, expecting to be equipped with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so that we move forward in boldness in what you've called this church to be and to do in our communities. We're excited for what you're calling us to do, but we're also scared too. God, we need you in order to advance. So empower us, equip us, change us, help us, be there for us. We love you, God, and we thank you that you are including us in what you are doing and how you're bringing revival to this county, to this area, to this region. We love you, God. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed or eyes still closed, I'm reminded that at the beginning of my message, I said, if you came today looking for hope, that hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope. God loves you so much. But as a human being, we are born with a propensity for sin. It's in our nature, thanks to Adam and Eve. And there's a punishment that comes with sin because we can't get rid of it. We can't be forgiven of it. There's nothing we can do to change it. That punishment is to spend eternity apart from God in hell, not a place we want to be. But even while we're on this earth, apart from God, we can't do anything. There's this emptiness inside. Some of you today, you've been wondering, why did I even show up? Why am I even here? You're wondering, why did I click on that video? Why am I even watching right now? Well, I want to propose it's not an accident or mistake. Because what you've been looking for, what you need, is you need God in your life to show up in a real way. Not something pretend, not something make-believe, but in a real way. You see, it's only because God loved us that he sent his son. He made a way where there was no way. He sent his son, Jesus, who didn't come to just start a religious movement, to be a good teacher, to do some miracles. No, he came with a mission. A mission was to die for our sins. And because Jesus paid the price with his life, we can now be forgiven. We can be set free from our eternal punishment. We can live life with hope, with purpose and mission. We've been talking today about the mission, that we're supposed to not just find Jesus for ourselves, but we're supposed to help other people find God's place in their life as well. You may be sitting here today saying, Pastor, you've been talking exactly about the thing I need. How do I get that? What do I got to do? But the Bible says that in order to find God's place in your life, you've got to have a conversation with him. We call it prayer. And in this prayer, we first need to recognize that we're not worthy, that we have messed up, and it's highly appropriate to say sorry for our sin. But then we need to believe that God loved us, believe that he sent his son Jesus, that Jesus paid the price for our sins so we can be forgiven. We got to claim that for ourselves. And finally, we got to go all in. Got to make that decision. Say, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to give him all of me. I'm going to go all in. I'm making God the boss of my life, the leader of my life. I'm the follower. And when we pray that prayer, it changes. The Bible says the old life is done and a new life begins. And you're not supposed to follow Jesus alone, but you're supposed to be a part of a family. I think this one. Because there's a step two to this. That's why we have water baptism, to show everybody, to go public with our faith and say, I prayed that prayer. I'm putting God as the leader of my life. But right now we're focusing on that conversation with God, and I want to help you with it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that prayer in bite-sized pieces out loud, and I'm going to encourage you to pray it repeating after me out loud as well. Out loud? Well, the Bible says that it's in our heart that we believe, but it's with our mouth that we say it out loud. God, you're in charge of me. You're my Lord. But don't worry, you're not going to be praying alone here this morning. Because I'm asking everybody, both in person, online, to pray this prayer with me. No one prays alone here at Focus Church. This is the most important thing we do. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their lives. So let's pray this prayer together right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you, with you in charge. Give me hope, give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.